Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah, the second line from the top of Daf Samach Dalid. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin at one of the features of the Gemara Markings Shas Ozer, where we provide topic headings and structural notes. In this case, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Ne'emonus ha'av, the believability of a father, lifsoil es bitoi haktano min hakuhuna, to render his daughter, that's a minor, unfit to the kahuna, linose lekohen midin grusha, as a result of what he says, so she would then be considered a divorcee, as we'll see in the Mishnah, and as such forbidden to marry a kohen. V'eino ne'emon lepoislo minatrumo. However, statements that the father makes that would result in her being prohibited from consuming truma, Lomar, for example, for the father to say Nishbeis Upadisia, she was taken captive, which in general would result in a woman being prohibited. If she's from a Kohen family, she would be prohibited in partaking of Truma as a result of her captivity amongst Gentiles. Upadisia, and the father goes on to say, and I redeemed her from captivity. Even if she's still a minor, his statement to that effect would just be disregarded. So in our Mishnah and in the Gemara, a distinction will be made between a father's comment resulting in his minor daughters being rendered unfit as a grusha, but his statements regarding her being rendered unfit as far as partaking of truma, that will not be reckoned with. The Mishnah. Kidashti esbiti. A man says, I married off my daughter. Kidashtiha vegerashtiha kishiktana. I married her off, and I received her divorce document, her get, while she was still a minor. Veharehiktana, and behold, as the father is mentioning this, she still happens to be a minor. Ne'emon. The father is believed with this story. And as a result of that, the girl is, in fact, a divorcee. And as such, she will not be able to marry a kohen. Father says, Kidashtiha v'girashtiha kishiktana. The same story, he tells us, however, varehi gedola. But right now, she happens to be an adult when the father is telling us this story. The father, Rashi points out, did not tell us this while she was still a minor. So the Mishnah says, Eino ne'emon, the father is not believed. Nishbeis ufidisiha. Father tells us, my daughter was taken captive. When a girl is taken captive, there's the suspicion, the chashash, that maybe she had intimacy with non-Jews. And a girl that has intimacy with non-Jews, a girl from a Kohen family, who up till that point was eating truma, the tithe given to Kohanim, and only Kohanim have the right to eat it. But if the girl was involved with forbidden intimacy, for example, with a Gentile, that will render her unfit to continue eating truma. So the father tells us, Nishbeis ufidisiha. She was taken captive, but I redeemed her. Bein shehi ketana, bein shehi gedola, eino neman. Whether she is right now a ketana, or if she is an adult, the father is not believed. The Gemara raises the question of what is the difference between the reisha, the opening of the Mishnah, the case Aleph in the Mishnah, where she was still, where if she is still a minor, so the father's story concerning her being married and subsequently divorced is accepted. And the continuation of the Mishnah, we saw in cases Beis and Gimel in the Mishnah, I should say case, it's really Roman numeral number one, case Beis, and Roman numeral number two of the Mishnah, which spoke about her being taken captive there, the father was not believed. So in the Gemara, you're going to notice a crown shape. On the side of the Gemara, there is a mivne, a structural note. The crown shape, which by the way is accompanied by a numbering system, is shtei tshuvos l'sheila ma'ishna reisha ma'ishna seifa. Two answers, two approaches to explaining why in case Roman numeral number one, Aleph of the Mishnah, father was believed, and case Beis plus Roman numeral number two, father is not believed. So when you look in the Gemara, you'll notice immediately crown one, number one appears. After we read the question of the Gemara, which was Maishno Reishno, Maishno Seifa, what's the difference between the Reisha, where if she's still a minor, so what the father tells us regarding her marriage and divorce, the father is believed. Well, Maishno Seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, where we saw if she is currently an adult, what the father tells us about her divorce, and what the father tells us about her being taken captive, and regarding that, even if she's still a minor, the father is not believed. Why the difference? What's the basis for the difference? So we're going to see crown number one, and it, what does the Gemara say? Reisha biyodei. Seifa lav biyodei. In the Reisha, it's within the power of the father to actually create the situation that he is describing about the daughter. Rashi says, Reisha biyodo, biyodeno ktano, while the girl is still a minor, while his daughter is still a minor, biyodo likach liachir, the father has the power to marry her off to someone else, falachsu likabo get hemenu, and to, in fact, receive a get from that fellow. So it's within the father's power to actually make her disqualified from kahuna, from marrying a kohen through the marriage and divorce. Hilchos Ne'eman. Therefore, the father, in his telling of the story, even without his doing anything else, is believed. D'malo l'shaker. Why should the father lie? Iboy posel. If he wanted to, he could actually make her posel. He could make her unfit. So in the Reisha, Roman numeral 1, Aleph, of the Mishnah, it's the father is telling us a story, the details of which he could actually execute right now, being that the girl is still a minor. Seifa lav biyodei. The continuation of the Mishnah, if whether it be Roman numeral number 1, case base, where the girl right now is adult, so the father can't marry her off. She's out of his domain. And then the case of Nishbeis, to make a girl unfit for Truma by her having intimacy with a forbidden individual, that's not something the father has power to do. He can't make her forbidden to Truma. So therefore, since it's not in his power to do it, he's not believed in the story that he tells us. We don't have the logic that we saw before in the Rashi of Malo Lishakir. If a person wants to lie, why should he lie when he could actually do it himself? He could bring about the situation himself. Well, that's true in the Reisha, but not in the Seifa. Notice we have a very long bracketed section. The purpose of these brackets is explained in the note on the side in the margin. We have a little, you'll see a circle with a line through it, a footnote that we put in the margin, and it reads, Matrasa Sograyim, the purpose of these brackets, Kedei Ledaleg, it's in order to initially skip, Lumoy Miad Kushis HaGemara Gisha number one. So if we skip the brackets, we'll see the Gemara raises a question on this approach. And umiyad lahagia lagisha number two, and then to immediately get to the second approach. So we gave you answer number one. Later, the Gemara asks a basic question on answer number one. It shows that the question or the suggestion of answer number one isn't tenable from its very basis. The Gemara's question later uproots the suggestion number one from its foundation. And that leads the Gemara into the second crown that you can see at the end of the third wide line of the Gemara. The note continues on the side saying, Besochas Ograim, within the bracketed section, Yesh Retzev Shel Kushios Tshuvos, there's a chain of questions and answers, HaMevusasos Al Tshuva number one, that are based on answer number one. With regard to answer number one, the section of the Gemara within the brackets is basically accepting the answer, accepting the premise of the answer, we'll say, and asking detailed questions and giving answers. But by the time you get to the section outside the brackets, the Gemara then decides to question the whole assumption of answer. Of answer number one. So what we're going to do in the Gemara is we'll do what we suggested with the initial skipping. So you use your bracket length indicator and you get to the point in the Gemara, Omar Rav Ashi. We're right outside the brackets. Rav Ashi says, "V'tispara." Well, explain yourself. I'm now going to question the foundation of your answer. Reisha mishum debiyotohu. In the Reisha, in the beginning of the Mishnah, is it accurate to say that the father has the power? What did we say about the Reisha, that the girl right now is still a minor, and the father's story about I married her and I received her on her behalf, her divorce, making her thereby a divorcee? This is something that the father could actualize, can execute right now, even without telling us this story. And the father has full control. Is that really so? Nehi debiyado lekacha, granted, it's within the father's power to marry her off to another man. Biyado legarsha, is it accurate to say that the father can oversee, can control her getting divorced? That's the husband's decision to divorce her. And furthermore, Ilu Omar Hai Delo Nicha Begavo. We said that the father could marry her off. Is that really so? Let's say the husband to be says, I don't want her. Can the father marry her to the gentleman against his will? So it turns out that answer number one is from its very foundation, making the assumption that the Reisha is explained by the father's believability because it's within the father's power to actually actualize her marriage and divorce. That's not true. It's not in his control. He doesn't have the power to do that. So why, in the very beginning of the Mishnah, do we say that the father is believed? And once we explain that, we'll then understand why in the continuation of the Mishnah the father is not believed. So the Gemara answers. Let's read the answer right now. Elo Omar Rav Ashi, Reisha, regarding the Reisha, Rachmona Heine, the Torah itself grants the father believability. Kidrav Huna, based on Rav Huna, Yom Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna quotes Rav saying, Minayin lo'ov shenemon le'esor esbito min ha-Torah. From where do we know that a father has the power to make his daughter forbidden meaning to make his daughter married to a man. When I say make his daughter married, it means through his words we will realize that she is married and we believe the father. Shenemar, the pasuk says, the pasuk itself is from the context of Motzi Shemra, but it's not important for us to delve into the background to that halacha, simply noting that the pasuk says, Esbiti nosati luish hazeh. The father, when confronting the person who is casting evil reports about this particular woman, so the father of the girl says, my daughter I gave unto this man. The word leish, osra. The father saying, I gave her to a man. So that by saying a man, that means she's married to him. And she's forbidden to everyone else. And the word hazeh, it says leish hazeh, this man, the word hazeh, hitira, enables her to be muteres to that man. Benisuin hemne rachmon alav, regarding marriage status, regarding having a married status, the father is believed by virtue of this pasuk. The Torah grants him believability, provided that he is talking about his daughter, that is a nara or a ktana. Nara is up till age between 12 and 12 and a half. Ktana is under 12, provided she's young. Above that age, the father has no believability. And b'shivuya lo hemne. And regarding matters of captivity, the Torah doesn't grant the father believability when he says she was taken captive. When he says that she was married to a man, so there, assuming that the girl is still a minor or a na'ara, there the Torah gives him believability. But not if she is right now a gedola. And as we said, and likewise, not if he is telling us a story about her being taken into captivity. There the father is not believed at all, even if she happens to be a minor. So now, this section of Gemara, when we finish the skipped section, we're not going to go over this. We've hopefully given a clear explanation as to the superstructure of the Gemara. The Gemara opened with a question: what's the difference between the very beginning of the Mishnah where the father was believed and the continuation of the Mishnah where he's not? Answer number one said, in the Reisha, he had the power to do it anyway, whereas not in the Seifa. And then we question that. The father, in fact, doesn't have the power to do anything exclusively on his own with regard to marrying off his daughter. The husband has to agree, and that's not in the father's power to make another man agree. So how do we explain the believing of the father if we don't use the concept of biyodei in his power? So we saw Rav Ashi gave us the explanation of Rachmona Hemne. And we have used a dashed underline to highlight these key words. Answer number one, you can see we highlighted the word biyodei. And then in answer number two, we highlighted rachmona hemne. Rachmona is the Torah grants the father hemne believability. Within the bracketed section, you'll notice a trapezoid or volcano shape that appears quite a few times. On the side under the Mivneh heading, the note reads, Vare Biyodo. That's, we've highlighted the expression, Vare. Sidra, there's a series of questions, Sidra Shel Kushios, a series of questions, Shemarim, that show that Biyodoi Shel av lepoisla gam mitruma. According to answer one, we said that only in the reisha the father has power, but regarding the seifa, the continuation of the Mishnah, which spoke about the girl becoming unfit to eat truma, that's something that the father has no control over. The questions will show, but the father does have control over that. Why would the father not be believed to say, well, she was taken captive and I redeemed her? So now, the Gemara, in the brackets, Veloi, and you're saying in the Seifa, the father does not have the power to tell us about her becoming unfit for Truma. And the father's not believed because it's not in his power to make her unfit for Truma Varava Vahare Biyodoi Lasia Lacholol de Kaposla Mikahuna. A father could marry off his minor daughter to a cholol. A cholol is an individual whose father was a Kohen, and he married a forbidden woman to a Kohen. For example, he married a divorcee. So the thinking right now is that this girl, this Bas Kohen, if she has intimacy with a cholol, she will become unfit to eating truma. The term de kaposlami kahuna, so it appears to me, based on the commentary of the Rashba, that the kavona of the Gemara is that the father could render her unfit to the halachas of kahuna. And amongst the halachas of kahuna, the rules or laws regarding kahuna is the right to eat truma. So the father, by marrying her off, chola, and you should realize, of course, I know we skipped to the second answer later, but at this point in the Gemara, we try to emphasize this, that the Gemara is accepting answer number one to the extent that in the ratio it's biyodei, that the father has power, and at this point we're thinking that the father has power to marry her off. So in that spirit of things, the father has the power to marry her to a cholol. And by marrying her to a cholol, she would become rendered unfit to eating truma. So why not believe the father when he tells us that she was taken captive? The Gemara says, ha lo kashya. This is no question. In other words, by raising this as a challenge to the explanation we gave for the Seifa, it's not a challenge, it's not a question. Rebbe Destoy ben Yehuda, based on Rebbe Destoy's approach to cholol, Diomar, Rabbi Dostoy says, "Benois Yisrael, Jewish girls, mikvetara lechalolin." That's a picturesque expression. It's a descriptive expression of what Jewish girls are. A mikvetara literally is a mikveh pool which purifies. The idea being that a cholol, according to Reb Dostoy, that bears a child with a bas, with a Jewish woman, so a girl that's born from such a union is allowed to marry a Kohen. And the rule is that if the girl is allowed, if the daughter of such a woman is allowed to marry a Kohen, the Almona, her mother, if she becomes widowed, she too can marry a Kohen. So that we do not see the father having power to render his daughter unfit to the realm of kahuna by saying he could marry her to a cholol, because by marrying her to a cholol will not result in her becoming rendered unfit to the kahuna. Question: Varei biyodoi la'asiyo la'mamzer. The father could marry his minor daughter off to an illegitimate Jew, a mamzer. is a person born from a forbidden union. That's a very general description, but a forbidden union that applies to Klal Yisrael, as opposed to things that are people that are forbidden only to Kohanim. But those kinds of unions of the marriage and the intimacy between two people that are forbidden to be together would result in illegitimacy. And if the girl is married to a mamzer, that will render her unfit to all aspects of kahuna. The Gemara answers that that is not a challenge. That doesn't present a question, because Rebbe Akiva, the Mishnah, is in accordance with Rebbe Akiva. D'yomer ein kedushin toifsin b'chayvei lavin. There is no marital bond formed to begin with between two people that are forbidden to one another to the tune of a negative command. A negative command is it represents a prohibition. It's not punishable by court execution, but nevertheless, it's a forbidden union. So Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that there's no marriage that takes hold. It's just as bad, so to speak, as a brother trying to marry a sister where nothing takes hold. So the father isn't able to marry her off to a mamzer. Nothing would take hold. It wouldn't be considered a marriage. So it has nothing. So the father has no involvement with her becoming unfit to truma. Question: Hare biyodo lahasiya almona lekohen gadol ucherebe simoi. The father could marry her off if she became widowed to a Kohen Gadol, according to Reb Simoy, that even though a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, a widow, even though he's prohibited in doing so, it's not the type of marriage that wouldn't take hold. It will take hold. The children of such a union, according to Reb Simoy, we'll see in a moment, are not considered mamzerim. And once they're not considered, once the children are not considered mamzerim, that reflects upon the parents as having accomplished establishing a marital bond. So even Rabbi Akiva, according to Reb Simoy, acknowledges that this kind of prohibition, amona l'kain gadol, is a type of marriage that takes hold. So could the father not have married his daughter off as an almona if she happened to be widowed to a Kohen Gadol, and that union would render her, by virtue of the fact that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, that would render her unfit to all aspects of kahuna, including truma? And if that be the case, why shouldn't we believe the father when he tells her that his daughter was taken captive? So now the Gemara. Desanya, Reb Simoy Oimer, min hakel oise, Rabbi Kiva mamzer, from all forbidden unions, Rabbi Kiva says that the children that would be born therefrom will be mamzerim, which, as we said, indicates that there's no marital bond that takes hold. Chutz mi'almona l'kohen gadol, with the exception of a widow marrying a kohen gadol, where it also happens to be a forbidden type of marital bond. However, because of the pasuk that we're going to see very shortly, there a marital bond actually forms. It's a marriage in sin, but it doesn't result in mamzerus. And the fact that it doesn't result in children that are mamzerim shows us that there was tfisas kiddushin, that the kiddushin, that the marriage took hold. And is that not something the father could have done? Could he not have married her off as a minor, as a widow to a Kohen Gadol? So, and how do we know this? Sha'ari Omro Torah, the Torah regarding Amon Kohen Gadol says, Lo Yikach, for Lo Yichalel. The Pasuk says that a Kohen Gadol shall not marry an Amonah. And right after that it says, by marrying an Amonah, you will, or sorry, say, by avoiding marrying an Amonah, you will not end up Lo Yichalel. You won't end up profaning your seed. And we infer, Chalulim, Cholol, we mentioned before, Cholol is what would be produced by way of children. V'ein, Oysem Mamzerim, but the marriage of a Kohen Gadol to an Amonah would not result in Mamzerus. And that shows us that there is Tfisas Kedushin, so that the father's involvement would have legal ramifications. And we see that the father could render her unfit to Truma by marrying her as an almona to a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara answers, Kerebi Yeshevov. Our Mishnah, we said, is authored by Rebbe Akiva, and now we're adding another dimension, and that is Rebbe Akiva as interpreted by Rebbe Yeshevov. Diomar, Rebbe Yeshevov has himself a personal objection to Rebbe Akiva, but through Rebbe Yeshevov's approach to Rebbe Akiva, we can see what Rebbe Akiva actually holds. What is Rebbe Yeshevov's take on Rebbe Akiva? So he says, Rebbe Yeshevov says, "Boyunet Saver Al Akiva Ben Yosef, let us come and scream in protest of Akiva Ben Yosef." That's Rebbe Akiva. Shaya Oimer Kol She'ein Lo Biya BeYisrael Havlad Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva was known to say, according to Rabbi Yeshevov, that anyone that is prohibited to have intimacy with a Jew, in other words, wherever the intimacy involves a sin, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer, which indicates there's no Tfisas Kedushin. There's no marriage bond that's formed. And this expression, Kol She'ein Lo Biya BeYisrael, will include Almona L'Kohen Gadol. So if Almona L'Kohen Gadol would result in the Vlad being a Mamzer, the child being illegitimate, that shows us that there's no marital bond that's formed. And as such, the father has no role. It would not be a case of a father marrying her off Almona to a Kohen Gadol. When we say marrying off, we mean to say that the father is establishing a marital bond, but that's not so. So up till now, we have demonstrated that it's not within the father's power to render her unfit to Truma. Well, ha nicho le Rebbe Yeshevov, that is true if you accept that Rebbe Yeshevov was coming to express his own general objection to Rebbe Akiva. And through that, we then understand what Rebbe Akiva's approach was. That any forbidden marriage, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. So the Gemara says, Honichol Rebbe Yeshevov ila taimei de nafshe shapir. If he's coming to express his own opinion about Rebbe Akiva's stance, then shapir, then this is understandable. Namely, that the father cannot render his daughter unfit to truma. However, there's another possibility in what Rebbe Yeshevov's agenda was. Eloi la'afuke mitaimo de Rebbe Simoi kasi. If all Rebbe Yeshevov was interested in doing was refuting Rebbe Simoi. Now, maybe some of you forgot the name Rebbe Simoi. If that happened, it's okay. We have arrows to rescue us from the pitfalls of forgetfulness. You see a few lines up, the arrow, the corresponding arrow. Rabbi Shmuel was the one that introduced issue of Amon HaKohen Gadol, where according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva made an exception that even though it's a marriage in sin, and hence there's no marriage, that's the case with the exception of Amon HaKohen Gadol. Now Amon HaKohen Gadol happens to be a realm of what we call Lo Sasa. We saw Lo Yikach. We saw that quoted above. It's a negative command. So that Rebbe Yeshevov, who said, let us protest Akiva ben Yosef, he may have come, this is a one of two possibilities in appreciating Rebbe Yeshevov, his agenda might have simply been to refute or to protest the approach taken by Rebbe Shmuel. What was the approach taken by Rebbe Shmuel? It was that Rebbe Akiva will accept the formation of a marital bond in the case of Amon HaKohen Gadol. And Rabbi Shevov was coming on saying, no, Rabbi Akiva doesn't accept even that. Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to all marriages that are described by a negative command in the Torah, Rabbi Shevov tells you Rabbi Akiva would declare the Vlada Mamzer, even in the case of Amon HaKohen Gadol. However, if you adopt this approach that Rabbi Yeshevov was coming lafuke mitaimeder of Shmuel and not coming to make a general statement about Rabbi Akiva, we just mentioned that the case of Amon HaKohen Gadol that Rabbi Shmuel acknowledged there was Tfisas Kiddushin and Rabbi Yeshevov protests. Rabbi Yeshevov is saying that from all cases of negative commands, Rabbi Akiva would proclaim Mamzerus, i.e. no Tfisas Kiddushin. There's another realm, though, of forbidden marriages that comes under the heading of Chivui Aseh. It means by entering such a union, you'd be in violation of a positive command of the Torah, not in violation of a negative command. So according to this approach that Rabbi Yeshevov is coming lafuke lafuke mitaimed Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel appeared only within the realm of a negative command, namely Amon HaKohen Gadol, but no mention was made of Rabbi Akiva's position regarding, let us say, for example, a Jewish girl marrying a first or second generation Egyptian convert. There's a prohibition of marrying a first or second generation Egyptian convert, but if one does, he has not violated a negative command. He's violated a positive command. The Torah says a Mitzri, upon reaching a third generation, they can enter into the Jewish people. So a third generation is allowed to enter into the Jewish nation. And from that we infer that an earlier generation of Egyptian convert would not be allowed. But the mitzvah is presented in a positive fashion. That's called Chiyuvei Aseh. According to this approach of Rabbi Yeshevov, Rabbi Akiva never said anything about Mamzerus when it came to Chiyuvei Aseh. So the Gemara asks, if Rabbi Shevov was simply coming to challenge Rabbi Shmuel, he was coming to challenge him with regard to Amon HaKohen Gadol, which represents the realm of Loisaseh. The father could have married her off to a Mitzri or Edomi, different nations, the Mitzri, the Egyptian people, the Edomite people. The Torah says that within the first three generations, I should say, generation one and two of those nations, if they convert, so they are prohibited in marrying a Jewish person. If they did, so there will be a marital bond because it's only a chiyuv aseh. Marriage will take hold and the girl will be rendered unfit to the laws of kahuna, including eating truma. A A divorcee, by the way, when she goes, when she's divorced, she goes back to her father's house. If she's the daughter of a Kohen, she continues eating truma. But not so in the case of a girl who was married to a forbidden individual. She will not be able to continue eating truma. That's assuming that there was a marital bond. And actually, let me retract that. The issue of establishing a marital bond has its significance only with regard to the father's involvement. So the issue right now is it could the father not have in fact rendered her unfit by marrying her? Even according to Rabbi Akiva, marrying her to a first or second generation Mitzri or Edomite convert. So the father has in his power to render her unfit to Truma. So why in the Mishnah does it say when the father tells her she was taken captive, he's not believed? Well, we mentioned earlier that the whole first approach is brought into question because it can't be the resha, the beginning of the Mishnah, cannot be explained in terms of biyodo, the father having power, because even with regard to a straightforward father marrying off his daughter as a minor, it's not something that we can describe as being in his power. It takes, as they say, two to tango. It takes the husband to agree, and if he doesn't agree, so the father is powerless. So then why in the resha is the father believed to begin with? So we saw that it's because the Torah grants him believability when it comes to establishing his daughter's marital status. But as far as establishing her status as being unfit to Truma, the father doesn't give the father any believability to that effect. That brings us to the new Mishnah. On the side, in the margin, we have an Osei topic heading, Oimer Bishas Misoso, a person on his deathbed says, Yesh li bonim, I have sons. Alternatively, Yesh li achim, I have brothers. Do we believe him? You'll ask, what difference does it make? Nafkamina, it makes a difference. Legabi zika se'isha li'ibum, regarding the widow and her connection or her bond. Is there a bond to a surviving brother, husband's brother? If you have a man who says he has children, so obviously there's no mitzvah of yibum. Not only is there no mitzvah, it would be a grave sin for her to have any intimacy with her husband's brother. She is called eshes ach, which carries with it a severe Torah penalty. The statement of, I have brothers, if we're dealing with a man who dies leaving no sons, and now we discover that he, based on his word, I have a brother, his word before his death, well, that would make her bound to the Yibum marriage. And she would not be able to marry just anyone else unless she's released from that bond. So now we turn to the Gemara. We're opening a Mishnah with regard to a woman that up till now was assumed. She had the status called a chazoka. She had an assumed status as not being bound to a yavam. That's an assumption or a premise that we must accept as we go on in the Mishnah. So we have a woman that who has a status as Eino Zekuka, as not being bound to a Yavam. And the Mishnah says, Misha Omar Bashas Misoso, a man, a husband says at the time of his death, Yesh Li Bonim, Neamon, I have sons. He's believed. His statement of I have sons is a statement that would show us she's not bound to Yibum. Yesh li achim. Man says, a man who does not leave any sons. And he tells us, I have brothers. Now, that statement would make her bound to a Yavam. Eino Naaman. So he is not believed. The Gemara observes, Almo Naaman Lahatir Vein Naaman Lesor. Superficially, it appears that a husband is believed to matir, to enable her to be muteris, to marry anyone she wants. However, he's not believed to restrict her, to make her forbidden. Nemo masnisin delok Rabbi Nosson. Shall we say that our Mishnah does not agree with Rabbi Nosson, another Tana? When you have a Gemara or a question of Gemara being introduced with Nemo almost all the time, it's not, we'll say, accepted. The question, the premise of the question is not accepted. In this case, we're suggesting, should we say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Nosson? Afterwards, we will discover that our Mishnah can agree with Rabbi Nosson as well. What does Rabbi Nosson say altogether? So we have to read a source before we get to that. The Sanya. B'shas Kiddushin, Omar. At the time a man is getting married, he tells us, Yesh lo bonim. He tells us that he has sons. And by saying that, he's saying, listen, my dear, you don't have to worry about Yibum, because I have sons. Only a man who dies without leaving any children, then there's a mitzvah Yibum. But if a man dies leaving children, there's no mitzvah Yibum. Bishas Misa Omar Ein Lo Bonim. So you have this man that at the time of marriage he says, I have sons, and at the time of death he says, I have no sons. Another scenario. Bishas Kiddushin Omar Ein Lo Achim. At the time of marriage he says, I have no brothers. By saying that, he's encouraging her that, marrying me does not get you involved with any bond forming for Yibum. I don't have any brothers. B'shas misomar yesh lo achim. At the time of death, he says, I have brothers. That would mean she's bound. Ne'mon lahatir v'ein ne'mon le'asor divrei Rebbe. Ne'mon lahatir means that which he said at the time of Kiddushin, in both of these examples, his comments that he made at the time of Kiddushin are comments that will deny or forestall any Yibum bond. So that we believe. But he's not believed with regard to that which he said at the time of death in these two examples. Those statements that he made at the time of death are statements that would result in her being bound to a Yavam. That's Rebbe's opinion. Reb Nosson Oimer Af Ne'emon Le'esor. Reb Nosson says that we believe him as well with regard to what he said at the time of death in these two examples, which would result in her being bound to the Yavam and restricted and prohibited Isur Usur to marry anyone else other than the surviving brother. Well, it would appear then that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Nosson, because our Mishnah said that he is not believed to restrict her, to make her bound. Omar Rava. You notice a new marking, a bow tie shape on the side under the Mivneh heading, under the structural note. We've written Drochim Liashev Mishnosenu, ways to resolve our Mishnah Shekotoni Deinu Ne'emon Le'asar, which said that a man is not believed to create restriction and resolve that with im shitas Rabbi Nosson bebraisa shenem on lesor, to come out saying that our Mishnah could agree with Rabbi Nosson. So as we said, the bow tie represents approaches to resolve our Mishnah with Rabbi Nosson. The first bow tie highlights Rava, and then the second bow tie highlights Abaye. Omar Rava, Shiny Hossam. The case of the Brisa, is different. Why, in the case of the Brisa, are we willing to believe him? Because Kevon de Bishas Misa Kohodarbe, since at the time of death he is reversing himself, Ema Kushtuk Omar. He must be telling the truth. A person knows he's about to die. He doesn't want to carry with him an additional sin of lying to the afterlife. So it must be that he's telling the truth. Because in the Brisa where Rabbi Nosson spoke up, we're speaking specifically about someone making a comment, a reversal at the time of his death. So that even though he's reversing his statement, he must be telling the truth. And we would best be served by looking at Rashi together. The Rashi is found 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Shiny Hossam, Babraisa. The Braisa is different than the case of the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah also spoke about someone speaking up at the time of death. However, Babraisa, Kevon de Hodarbe mi Dubur Kama, Bishas Misa, since he was reversing, there's a, we'll say, a contrast opportunity. He's reversing that which he had stated explicitly initially, and he's reversing it at the time of his death. Kushta Ka'omar, Kushta means the truth. He must be telling the truth. Shalehe Ovoin Tolui Bo. So he doesn't have the sin hanging over him as he departs. The sin of having said something inaccurately before, so he doesn't want to leave that original inaccurate statement. So the fact that he's reversing at the time of death shows us that he's telling the truth. Avol mas nisin, shelo omar b'shas kiddushin, ein li achim. In the case of the Mishnah, where he didn't say at the time of marriage, I have no brothers, ki omar hashto yeshli, when he's saying now, I have brothers, eino nemon, he's not believed, l'tzura komechavein, he is saying that just to frustrate her, to make her feel pain. Abaye, though, has difficulty with Rava's answer. Omar le Abaye, v'lav kol dekein hu. Couldn't the opposite be argued through a kol shekein form of logic? That will be explained as we go on. Hashto ma hosam, mind you, in the Brisa, dekom meira le ledibure. That which he is saying at the time of death is weakening, or is contradicting that which he said at the time of marriage. You have him essentially contradicting an earlier statement of his. And Amris Kushta Ka'omar, and Rabbi Nosson was saying, we believe him anyway. Masnisin de lo komeira leila dibure lo kol shekein. In the Mishnah, where there was no initial statement made on his part, all the more so, the statement he makes at the time of death, which is not contradicting an earlier statement, you would, according to Rabbi Nosson, you would say he certainly should be believed. So, it's and yet the Mishnah says that if he says b'shas misoso, that I have brothers, he is not believed. So the Mishnah doesn't seem to be like Rabbi Nosson. Elom Rabbaye. Rather, Rabbaye says, we can still salvage the situation and have the Mishnah work out like Rabbi Nosson. And Abaye points out, there still remains a difference between the case of the Mishnah and the case of the Braisa. You'll notice a diamond marking, and that's featured on the side, Hadgoshas Masnisin Ubraisa. The diamond highlights the words Mishnah and Braisa, Lelameid Shemidabrim Bin Sibois Shainois, that they're talking about different circumstances. So now the Gemara. So Elom Abaye, Masnisin, the circumstances of the Mishnah, the lo muhsik lon ba'achi v'lo muhsik lon b'boni. And here we must point out that as opposed to the way we introduced the Mishnah, here we're, I should say, maybe elaborating on the way we introduced the Mishnah. He is not of a status where he has brothers, nor sons. So the Mishnah, you have a man with, we'll say, a neutral status. And being such, the woman is not considered having the chazoka of being someone bound. We look at Rashi. Three lines from the bottom, the lo muhsiklon hai gavra bishas misa, the man in the Mishnah does not have any, we'll say, given status or assumption at the time of his death, lo b'achi v'lo b'boni, a man having a status of having brothers nor sons. He's not muhsik with brothers nor with sons. Well, a man that has no brothers and no sons, so the wife, the widow, would be not considered bound. Hilkuch, therefore, Omar Yesh Li Bonim, when he says, I have sons, Achazoka Kamaisa Hu Dekomoikim Lo, he's simply reaffirming her status up till that point. His comment doesn't contradict her status. Her status was one of not being bound. When he says, I have sons, a man dying, leaving sons, there's no yibum. Hilkoch Neman. Therefore, he's believed. He's simply reaffirming her known status, her given status. If a man comes along later on and says, I am the dead man's brother, lav kol kamine, dahani dibur lechazoka, he would have no believability. His comment would have no strength against her status of being unbound. However, if he says, I have brothers, there he's running, the husband is contradicting the assumed chazoka of being unbound that she enjoyed till that point. So now, the Gemara. We mentioned that in the Mishnah's case, up till the point of his, prior to his death, let's say immediately prior to his death, there was no assumed presence of brothers nor children. The Amrinon, Kevan de lo muhsuklon beboni velo ba'achi, we say that since there was no assumption of having children nor brothers, Omar, when he says, Yesh li bonim, when the dying man at the time of his death says, I have sons, he's reaffirming her status. Ne'emon, he's believed. However, yesh li achim, by saying, I have brothers and I have no sons, eino ne'emon, he's not believed. Lav kol kemine de osa lo akuli alma, it's not within his power to prohibit her through trying to alter, remove her from her assumed status, and thereby prohibit her on everyone else. So the Mishnah's ruling was based on lack of any knowledge of her being bound. She was not muhsik as him having brothers nor sons. Braisa, the Braisa though is a different situation. The Braisa where Rabbi Nosson said that the dying man is believed to cause her to be prohibited. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. The muhsuk lon ba'achi velo muhsuk lon bebani. The man has the status of having brothers but no sons. So you're dealing with a cheska zikuka, an assumption of her being bound. In order to truly understand the next couple of lines of Gemara, Rashi is necessary because there's essential points that you don't see in the words of the Gemara. So we look at Rashi at the top, the muhsuk lon hai gavro ba'achi, the man, the husband here is assumed to have brothers and but no sons. V'lo shiyesh eidim badover. Not that there are witnesses to this. And l'chazoka bi'almo, it's an assumed status. Kach shemanu lov kedim kiddushin. Before this man got married, this is what we heard about him. That he has brothers. V'chi omar b'shas kiddushin yesh li bonim v'ein li achim. And this fellow, at the time of marriage, he says, I have sons, I have no brothers. Ilav dehodar bei b'shas misa, if he wouldn't have reversed himself at the time of his death, to reaffirm the original status of being zekuka, hava me'amnina le, we would have believed him in that which he said, with that which he said at the time of marriage. The Amrinon Mali Lishakir, because if he's lying with the goal of making her unbound, he could have made her unbound anyway. So as we approach the Braisa, let us note we have a little diagram on the side and in the margin. Stage one, this is pre-marriage, chezkas zekuka. There was the assumed status that he was a man with brothers, and that her potential relationship with this guy would have been one where she'd be bound to a yavam eventually. Stage two, shas kiddushin at the time of the actual marriage, amira shelo di eino zekuka. He makes a statement where he says, I don't have brothers, but I have sons. That's a statement that would release her from a yibum bond. And that statement that he makes at the time of Kiddushin, v'yesh bo migu, that statement has strength to it by virtue of the fact that, well, if he was trying to lie, he could have done something else which would have certainly been, let's say, believable that she's not zekuka. So that's called a migu, a claim that we believe because he could have made a better claim or he could have done something else that would have established this as a fact. Now, that type of claim, a claim that's backed up by amigu, what strength does that have? So we're going to continue with our little diagram on the side by way of introduction to what we'll see in the Gemara. We noted in the Braisa there was a machloikis Rebbe and Reb Nosson. If you recall, and you don't have to bother recalling, just look back at the Braisa. And you saw there that Rebbe said that he makes a comment at the time of Misa, but he's not Ne'emon Le'esor. He's not believed to make her prohibited to, we'll say, reaffirm the original status, as according to our explanation now. And Reb Nosson says that he is believed to restrict her. And restrict her would mean to reinstate the original chazoka. So Rebbe represents the opinion that what he says at the time of death is not going to be accepted. He's not believed to restrict her. So in our chart, you can see little arrows. One is pointing Le Rebbe. The statement that resulted in her Eina Zekuka, and we said it's backed up by Amigu, the Rebbe Dino Ki Eidim. That type of claim has the strength of witnesses. Witness is a very strong institution in halacha. The oiker chazoka kamaisa, and it uproots the original chazoka. Number three, at the third stage, he made a comment b'shas misa, which was a comment that's choizur mamida b'cheskasa rishayne kizikuka, was reaffirming the original chazoka. But at that point, you have to realize that reaffirmation, his verbal reaffirmation at stage 3, is running against a stage 2 statement that had the strength of witnesses. And that was a statement of Eina Zekuka, of making her not bound. So that's why Rebbe says that when he tries to reinstate her bound nature, based on that what she says at Shas Misa, it doesn't have enough strength to be accepted, because it's running up against that which happened at stage 2, which according to Rebbe had the strength of witnesses. In contrast, Rebbe Nosson doesn't grant a claim that has a migu as being any stronger than a standard chazoka. So on our chart, we noted the Rebbe Nosson Dino Ki Chazoka, the Eino Oiker Chazoka Kamaisa, and that stage 2 comment doesn't have the strength to uproot the original Chazoka. So when you get to stage 3, that he says B'Shas Misa comment that in effect results in her being Zekuka, like the original status, he's simply reestablishing an original Chazoka that really was never refuted or contradicted to begin with. That's why, according to Rebbe Nosson in the Braisa, he is believed. And now we go back to the Gemara. We mentioned that the Braisa was speaking about a case of a man that was muhsuklon ba'achi velo muhsuklon beboni, and then at the time of Kiddushin, he made a comment that would have been undoing that original chazak, being matir her. Diamrinon, mali v'shakir. We say that that which he says at the time of Kiddushin to release her from a yibum bond, we ought to believe him, because why should he be lying? My ko'omar lemifter amiyavam. What's his point? What's he trying to say? He's trying to say something that would exempt her from the yavam. Motzi omar, he could have said, patarnaloch begita. He could have said, I divorced you. Well, and a husband who says that to his wife, I divorced you, he would be believed. And I think you might be able to add, not only is it a function of his being believed, but he could actually divorce her right before his death. So now, what happens after that? We have to establish what strength is there in his comment at the time of Kiddushin, that she's not Zekuka. Well, that type of statement we just explained is believed because of the migu of Mali the Shakir. Rebbe Sovar, Mali the Shakir, Ki Edim Domi. Rebbe says that type of statement is one that has the strength of witnesses. The Osu Edim Okar Chazoka, that stage two comment of his, where he says, I have sons, has the strength of witnesses. That statement of his saying, I have sons, at the time of Kiddushin, is a statement which says, in effect, she's not bound. We believe him because of Mali L'Shakir. And what strength does that have, according to Rebbe? The strength of witnesses. And those witnesses, V'yosu Edim Akri Chazoka, they have the strength to come and uproot the original Chazoka. Rebbe Nosson Sover Mali L'Shakir, Ki Chazoka Domi, the power of a statement that's backed up by the Migu, the claim of Wall of Mali L'Shakir, has the strength itself of a Chazoka, of a status. And lo osi chazoka v'yokr chazoka legamri, the original, this new chazoka doesn't have the strength to uproot the original chazoka. And then, as we said using the chart on the side, we then said that when at the time of death he reaffirms her status of being bound, so according to Rebbe, the original status was eradicated by a statement that carried with it, that had the weight of witnesses. So the statement at the time of Misa is not going to be regarded. Rebbe Nosson, though, said that the Migu statement that he made at the time of Kiddushin doesn't have the witnesses' strength of witness as the strength of a chazoka. It doesn't undo the original chazoka. Therefore, when he, at the time of Misa, reestablishes the original chazoka, he is believed. As we approach the new Mishnah, we glance in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads as follows: Machloikis Tanoim, be'oimer kidashti esbiti. We'll see a machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic disagreement, where a father declares, I married off my daughter Hagadola, the eldest. Or, here, in fact, you lose a great deal in translation. The word Gedola would mean older. So he says, I married my daughter Hagadola. Hakitana, or he says, I married off my daughter, the Kitana, the young one. Le Rebbe Meir, Mochis Inish Nafshe Lisfeka. Rebbe Meir says, a person is given to say things that are vague, that could have alternative meanings, and that could be brought into question. The Rabbi Yossi lo mochis, a person will not say something that later is subject to vagueness or subject to questioning. If a person says something, you will assume that he is saying that which is, we'll say, absolute. That sounds a little bit vague, maybe a little abstract, but by seeing examples, hopefully things will become much clearer. The Mishnah. Hamekadesh is bitoy stam. A man says, I married off my daughter to you. And he didn't say which one. Ein haboygros bichlal. Daughters that are above 12 and a half years of age are not included in the doubt. Okay, it's true, this man might have several daughters. He says, I married one of my daughters to you. He doesn't say which one. One thing is for sure, daughters that he has above 12 and a half years of age are daughters that the father has no control over vis-a-vis matters of marriage, and therefore they are not bound to anyone. They can marry, they can go ahead and marry anyone they like. They don't need any divorce document to free them, because they're not bound whatsoever. מי שיש לו שתי קיטי בונוס, משתי נושים. I mean as two sets of daughters from two different wives. He had married Mrs. One, and he had two daughters with her, and she then died or was divorced, and he then married Mrs. Two, and he had more daughters with Mrs. Two. And the man says, V'yomar, Hidashi is biti hagadola. The star that you see draws your attention to the little diagram on the side which we articulated. And the man says, I married off my biti hagadola. The word gadola, we said, meant older. V'eini yodea, but there's vagueness here. I don't know. In Gedolah Shebedolos, is it the elder of the older girls? And on our diagram, we can make reference to girl number one. Oy, Gedolah Shebetanos, when he says, I married off my daughter, the Gedolah, maybe it's number three. She's the older of the younger daughters. Oy, Ktana Shebedolos, or maybe girl number two. Shehi gedola min hagdolos shebektanos. Girl number two is gedola, is older than the eldest of the young ones. So this man who said, I married off my daughter, the gedola, kulon asuros. They're all prohibited. They cannot marry anyone else unless they get a divorce from the man the father refers to as having married her off. They're all forbidden, chutz min haktana shebektanos, the very Rebbe, with the exception of girl number four. She's the youngest of the young. The word gedola would have no relevance to her whatsoever. Rebbe Yosi Oimer kulon mutoros, chutz min hagdolo shebektanos. Rebbe Yosi says they're all permitted. When this father said, I married off my daughter, the gedola, he said something that would not be subject to any question. In other words, there's no question that girl number one could be described as a gedola. It is only unto her that he made any reference. We take a look at Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines. Kulon mutaros, the low mochis inish lemeimar milsa, a person will not say something. Literally, mochis inish is for a person to descend into something, to say something. The lacy bay lidei she'elo l'chachomim, that would result in needing to inquire, to question as to what the man meant by consulting sages. V'chiyoma gedola, and if the father is already choosing the word gedola, he must have said something. He must be referring to someone that's very clearly gedola shebegdolos komar. He made reference to the eldest of the older girls. And in our example, referring only to number one. And therefore, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, girls two and three, and certainly four, have no need for any get. We continue. Another example, but this time the father says, Kidashi is biti haktana. Later in the Gemara, there will be a need to explain why I need two examples featuring the Machlokas, Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Yossi. In the meantime, father says, I married off biti haktana. Ktana means a young one. V'eini yoidea im ktana shebiktanos. Is he referring to girl number four, the youngest of the young, Oy Ketana Shebedolos, or girl number two, who's the younger of the older ones, Oy Gedoyla Shebektanos, or girl number three, Shehi Ketana Minaktanos Shebedolos. Girl number three is younger than the young of the older ones. Kulon Asuros, Chutz Minaktanos Shebedolos, Divrei Rebbe Meir. All the girls, with the exception of one, fall under the shadow of doubt as to possibly being married. they cannot marry out. They can't marry anyone else unless they get a get. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kulon mutorois, chutz mina ktana shebektanos. After having said I married off my daughter, the ktana, Rabbi Yossi says, girls 1, 2, and 3 have no problem, nothing to worry about. He said, ketana, biti aktana. He would have been referring only to girl number 4. Once again, Rabbi Yossi has the opinion that when a person says something, he is going to refer to something that would not need to be questioned. So if he said ketana, he must be referring to the youngest of the young, who's clearly a ketana, no question arising, a reference to her. We have an arrow, and the arrow highlights or points to that which we've written in between the lines, which says, Ein habogros bichlal. The arrow above points to the opening line of the Mishnah, Mekadesh is Bita Istam, a man said, I married off my daughter, without specifying which daughter. The Mishnah said, well, the older ones, the Bogros, the girls above 12 and a half are not part of the doubt. And now the Gemara goes on to say, Ha Katanos Bichlal. That leaves us to think that if he had many girls, unless he had several daughters, so the ketanos, the minors, are part of the doubt. And that all the minors are considered possibly married. That there's a kedushin, possible kedushin status, married status that would apply to the younger daughters. Now, think about this. Any one of those younger daughters, after the father says to some fellow, you know, I married to you, one of my younger daughters, could he have intimacy with any one of them on the assumption that it's his wife? No, because any one of them might be the sister of the one who is actually his wife. That's called achos isha, the sister of your wife. Here we have a doubt, a suffix, achos isha. Can this man consummate his marriage with any one of the ketanos? No. And yet, we're saying that all those ketanos will need a divorce from him. So, Shamas Mino, should we conclude from our Mishnah that Kiddushin Shein Mesurin Labiya Havu Kiddushin, that a marriage that's not given over to intimacy, in other words, a marriage that cannot be consummated with intimacy, is nevertheless considered a marriage, as we said, in each one of these ketanas, each one of these minor daughters is going to need a get. And we've seen this issue come up in the past in our Masechta already. Kedushin Shein Mesurin Labiya. How do we view it? The way our Mishnah seems to suggest is that it's viewed as having legal significance, which results in then the need for a get. The Gemara says we're not going to draw any conclusions regarding the topic of Kiddushin Shein Mesurin Labiya from our Mishnah. Hacha b'may askinon, here we are dealing with Kishein Shom Elo Gedolo Ktana. The man at the opening of the Mishnah who spoke about his daughters, he's a man that has only two daughters. He has an adult daughter and a minor daughter. So the adult daughter is not part of is not part of any marriage consideration. The minor daughter is. The Gemara asks, well, how can you say that? That's what the and by the way, then I have to make the main point. Mention the main point. And if he has only one minor daughter, then there's no issue of a kedushin shein mesurin labiya. The fellow could have relations with her and not be in violation of any suffolk iser. It's true she has a sister, but that sister's a bogeres, she's an adult. She is not someone that the father could have married off. So that the ketana would not be a suffolk, a doubt of being an achos ishto. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the circumstances of the Mishnah is that he has only one, he has only two daughters, one adult, one minor? The Mishnah uses the plural form. So the Gemara answers, no. My bogros, the plural form you see in the Mishnah, bogros the Alma, it means adult daughters in general. Doesn't mean that this father has multiple adult daughters. It means fathers in general that have two daughters. Again, now you can use the plural. The many fathers have. Amongst them, there are many bogros, each father having one bogeres. But the term bogros means bogros de alma. The realm of adult daughters are, as the Mishnah says, not included in the suffix, and not included in what the father was saying when he said, I married off my daughter, and he didn't say which one. The Gemara says, well, if that's the explanation of the Mishnah, that he only has a Gedola and a Katana, the father then, when he says, I married off my daughter, he's clearly referring to the Katana. Pshita. Bogros maya viditayu. It's obvious then that the adult daughter is not in the picture. What could have been their association with the father's comment to begin with? The Gemara answers why the Mishnah needs to be taught. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Mishnah, in describing the father that has an adult daughter and a minor daughter, is talking about a case where teshavise shaliach. Maybe we didn't emphasize enough when we said bogros mayavidetayu. Once the girl is an adult, so she's not under the domain or the control of her father, i.e. father has no marriage rights concerning the bogros, so what connection do they have anyway to the issue of the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where that elder daughter, where that bogeres, the adult daughter, appointed her father an agent on her behalf to marry her off. Mahu detemo ki mekabel kiddushi. One might have thought that when the father accepted marriage money from the man, the suitor, so adaita didoko mekabel. He had her in mind as well, and then that creates a sense of doubt. Which daughter, when he says, I married my daughter to you without specifying which one, maybe had the adult daughter in mind. And then you get back to the problem of Kiddushin Shein Misurin Labia. Komash Malon, what our Mishnah reveals to us by saying that Ein HaBogros Bichlal is the Lo Shavik Inish Midi De Isle Hanomine. A person, in this case the father, would not abandon something that he can benefit from. When he marries off a minor daughter, the father gets the marriage money. He pockets that money. He benefits from that. A father, wouldn't abandon something that he could benefit from, i.e. marrying off his minor daughter, and then do something that he doesn't have any personal benefit from. He might have been appointed an agent by the daughter, the elder daughter, but the marriage money is going to go to her. The Gemara says, how can you be so sure that it's so cut and dry like that? Mi lo askinon di omra le kiddushai loch. When we spoke about the father having been made an agent by the elder daughter, you have to consider that maybe that elder daughter said, you know, and dad, if you marry me off, you keep the marriage money. So that would if your whole claim was that he certainly wouldn't have married off the elder daughter because he doesn't benefit, that's not the case here. So with that having been said, we reinstate the issue of maybe the mission now is telling me something that I wouldn't have been so obvious. And to say what we said before, that the Mishnah reveals to us that a person would not pass up on something that he doesn't have benefit from, but if you say that she, the elder daughter, agreed that the father could keep the money, so then how is it so clear that the, why would the Mishnah say that the bogros are not included? Afilu hachi, even so, lo shovik inish mitzvah de rami ole, a person, a father, would not abandon the chance to fulfill a mitzvah that is literally upon him. That's Rami Ole, that he is bound to. A father, and Rashi points out the scriptural source for it. The Pasuk says, V'yes ben oisechem tenu la'anoshim. A father is commanded, is bound to see to it that his minor daughter gets married. And hence, the father would not abandon that, the Ovid mitzvah de lo ramya ole, and work on behalf of his older daughter, which is not a case of something that he, the father, is commanded in anymore. Once she becomes 12 and a half years of age, she's no longer in the father's domain. It's not his mitzvah any longer. So the Mishnah, by telling us Amekadesh esbita stam ein habogros bichlal, is telling us this principle that lo shovik inish mitzvah de rami olei v'yovid mitzvah de lo rami olei, and that's the reason why ein habogros bichlal. As far as the Mishnah taking a stand on kedushin shein mesurin lebia, the Mishnah is not taking a stand on that, because once we establish that ein habogros bichlal, and there's only one Ketana, there's only one minor, so the man addressed by the father has a right to have intimacy with her. Mi sheyeshlo shtei kitei bonos. In our Mishnah, and you can see that we have underlined the two cases, Kidashis biti hagadola, and he says, I don't know which one I was referring to. And we have the case of Kidashis Biti Aktana Utsricha. I need both cases. The squiggled arrow that you see in the space besides the Gemara text can be aligned with that same marking that you see twice above to highlight that the Tzricha is referring to those two cases above. Namely, I need to be taught those two cases. And here we have a long point marking, and the Gemara explains, Di Ashminen Kamaisa, had we taught the case of Kidashis Biti Hagedola, and we saw a machlokis between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi, had we taught only that case, Bahach Ka'oma Rebbe Meir, there Rebbe Meir says that the majority of those girls are besafek. There's a doubt concerning them. The Kevandika Zutramina, since there's a younger one regarding girls 1, 2, and 3 in our example before, with regard to each one of them, there was always a younger one. Therefore, lahach, this one, meaning any of them, numbers 1, 2, or 3, gedola kori la. It's an honor to be called a gedola. Even today, you find many parents saying about their rather young daughter, "How this is my big girl." A man might have two daughters at home, one that's 2.5 years old and one that's 9 months, and he'll refer to the 2-year-old girl as my big girl. And he might have even older daughters than that, but nevertheless, there's a sense of pride in referring to even a little girl as my big girl. So that as long as there is a younger one around, so any of the older ones would be addressed by the father using the term gedola. So I can understand Rebbe Meir's position when the father initially said, "I married off my daughter, the gedola," bringing into doubt all the girls other than the very youngest one. Aval beha, in the case where a man says, "I married off my daughter, the ketana," Hey, mo moi delay the Rabbi Yossi. The Ketano, I would have thought, without having been taught the machlokas regarding Ketano, that Rabbi Meir would actually agree with Rabbi Yossi that the word Ketano, lahach Ketana de kulu kari la, the only one that he would refer to by the term Ketana is the very youngest of all of them. And if that were the case, that there would have been no evidence of any machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi in the case of Kidashis Biti Aktana. Therefore, in addition to teaching the machlokas concerning Biti Agdola, I have to teach Biti Aktana. Otherwise, I'd get the wrong idea about Rabbi Meir. V'yitmar b'ha, and had we taught only the case of Kidashis Biti Haketana, b'ha kom Rabbi Yossi. There, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that all of them, except for the very youngest one, are mutoros. Because if you're using the term ketana, you wouldn't have used that to address any girl that has a younger sister. Avo b'hach, in the case of kidashis biti hagadola, maybe Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Meir. Like we explained before, maybe Rabbi Yossi accepts this idea that a father is given to use the term Gedola for any number of his daughters as long as she's not the very youngest one. Tzricha, therefore, we have to tell you that even in that case, even in the case of Kidashis Biti HaGedola, you have Rabbi Yossi taking his stand that Gedola means only the eldest of all of them. On the side of the Gemara, there's a topic heading, the Nosei. Be-Nidorim, in Maseches Nidorim, regarding the topic of vows, Yesh Mishneh Shehofcha Shitoisem Sherebi Meir Rabbi Yossi, that presents in a reversed fashion the opinions of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yossi, being in Moches Inishnav Shelisveka, regarding a person saying something that could result in, we'll say, vagueness. Up till now, Rabbi Yossi was presented as the opinion that says that a person will say something that would not be subject to questioning later on. Something that's absolutely clear. And Rabbi Meir is saying people will say things that could be questioned. In other words, due to lack of clarity. The Gemara, Lameimra de Rabbi Meir Savar Mochis Inish Nafshe Lisveka of Rabbi Yossi Savar Lo Mochis Inish Lisveka. Are you saying then that Rabbi Meir holds people will say things that could be misunderstood or could have a double meaning or alternative meanings, and Rabbi Yossi says a person would not say something that would then later be questioned? But we've heard them presented in an opposite fashion, this non hanoder. A person vowed and he stated a time frame for his vow. And he said that I'm vowing to prohibit something, to restrict something, ad ha-Pesach, until Pesach. What does that mean? Usur, so whatever he restricted in his vow is prohibited ad shiyagi, until Pesach arrives. Number two, the man vowed and said ad shiyahe Pesach. He adds a word, shiyahe. He didn't just say ad Pesach, but ad shiyahe Pesach. What is the intention? Usur ad shiyetze, the prohibition is binding until Pesach departs, until the very end of Pesach. Number three, and here's where we get interested. Person says, ad penei Pesach. The word penei is what really draws our attention. Rashi we're looking at is and the wide lines toward the lower part of the page, at the end of the line, Nodar ad penei Pesach. Rabbi Meir Mer ad shiagia. Rashi says, once Pesach arrives, Ein Kan Pnei Pesach, there's no more Pnei. Pnei in this case means the face of, the beginning of that which, when something's arriving, you are, as it comes onwards onto you, you are facing it. So once it arrives, there's no longer Pnei. So Mishigen Kan Pnei Pesach, V'yafo Pisha Kol Yom V'yom Shel Pesach. Even though you can imagine that every succeeding day of Pesach, Pnei Hu L'chavero, it's the face of, the face of that which follows it. Face being the especially with, when you, let's say, imagine animals, the first thing that comes to you when an animal is walking in your direction is its face. It walks on all four, so you see initially its face. Well, any subsequent day of a multiple day holiday is the face of the next day, so to speak. So if you have a 7 day holiday, the sixth day is the Pnei Chaveru, is the face of the next day, the seventh day. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Meir, Lo Mochis Inishnav Shilisfeika, Rashi points out, Shiehei Tzorich Lishol Ezehu. Person isn't going to say something that you have to then ask, well, when you said Pnei, which Pnei did you mean? V'chikoma Pnei, Kama Dekulu Koma. When he said Pnei, his intention was the face of all of them. Shu Pnei Shebekulon. It's the face, as we said, of all of them. It's a very clear use of the word Pnei that doesn't have to be analyzed any further. We turn back to the Gemara. What do we see in this source? So we already read the Rashi to introduce the Gemara, which itself is rather terse, but the Gemara says, if you said, Ah, Pnei Pesach, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Osir Ad Shiagia, your vow is binding up till the point that the holiday arrives, but not beyond that. And Rabbi Yossi Yomer Ad Shietze, and if you look back in the Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Yomer Ad Shietze, until the holiday finishes, Dechol Chad V'Chad Have Pnei L'Chavero. Each given day of the holiday is the Pnei of the next day. V'lo Yadi Hei Ninu, and I don't know which one. And Afilu Achron, even the last day, have a Tchiloso Pnei L'Sofo. Believe it or not, even the last day, the beginning of the last day, is the Pnei of the end of the last day. And that's why Rabbi Yossi in this Nidorim source says, you know, the vow, when you said, I don't know which Pnei you're referring to, there's an element of sfeika, of doubt, so maintain your vow until the very end of the holiday. What does that show you? What does this show you? That Rabbi Meir holds, Lo Mochis Inishnafshi L'Sfeika, and Rabbi Yossi holds, yes, Mochis Inishnafshi L'Sfeika, the opposite of what we saw in our mission here in Kiddushin. Omar Rabbi Chanino Bar Avdimi, Omar Rav. So Rabbi Chanino quotes Rav saying, Muchlefes Ashita. You have to switch around the opinions as they're presented in Maseches Nidorim, the Hotanyo, and here we have a Tanaic source that supports this, Ze Haklal. And as we hear, we have a source in which Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi will appear, and it will show how the case, how the example of Nidorim needs to be switched around. The following is the rule. Kol shezmanoi kavua, things that have fixed calendar dates, like holidays. V'yomer ad pnei, and the man used that expression, I'm prohibiting something ad pnei. Rabbi Meir omer ad shietze, until the holiday is finished. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Ad Shiagia, until the prohibition will exist only until the very beginning. And that reflects Rabbi Yossi holding Lo Mochesinish Nafshe L'Sveika. Omar Abaye, Machlokes Bishtei Kitei Bonois. The Machlokes Tanoim that we saw above Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is only in the case where a man made reference to daughters where he has two sets of daughters. Avol bekas achas, if he has one set of daughters. Divrei hakol, everyone will agree that gedola, if he says I married off my daughter the gedola, mamish, the eldest of all of them. Ketana, mamish, the youngest of all of them. Emtsoyis, any middle daughters that may be there, Bishma Korila. The father would refer to her by name. So there's no doubt involved. There's no doubt in such a case where he says either Gedola or Ketana when he has only one set of daughters. Omar le Ravada bar Matana Labaye. Ela Meata. If that be the case, we continue at the top of Daf Samach Hei. If your logic or your approach is correct, Emtsoyis Shebekas Shnia Tishteri. The middle daughter of the second set. Now we didn't see an example of this up till this point, so we have a new diagram. Again, on the side where the star appears, you see Isha Aleph and Isha Beis, the same basic setup as the original chart. However, you notice that though Isha number one is the same, she has two girls, one and two. Isha Beis, you can see we've squiggled underline number four. Isha Beis has a few daughters, several daughters, three daughters in our example, and there's a middle one. And the number four girl is what we are referring to when we say the Emtsoy Shebekas Shnia should be allowed. The Rashi at the top, Emtsoy Shebekas Shnia Tishteri, a Reisha Koi, we're referring to the example of a man says, Kidashti is Biti Hagadola. The Mesafka Lekol Kas Shnia Begadola. The second set of girls are part of the doubt. Maybe they're married, as it's said in the Mishnah said regarding that second set. They're all usher except for the youngest of them. I should point out that at this point, the thinking is that in the as far as that the Mishnah's case, it wasn't limited to the way we originally set it up with only four girls altogether, but the second set might have had more than four girls, as our chart indicates, as our diagram indicates. The Mishnah said that they're all usur, all the girls of the second set are usur, except for the youngest of them. Emtsoyis, that middle girl of the second set, legabi man kori la gedola, in reference to whom would she be called gedola? Ilo legabi Tano dahikat, if not in reference to the youngest of that group. Almo bekas achas pligi. That shows us that the machlokes tanoim exists even in one group. For clarification purposes, we might add that when you are analyzing that second group as we did earlier, at that point you're trying to figure out how does Gedola apply to the second group. We've dismissed the first group. They're out of the picture at this point. So there is, for our purposes, only one group that we're analyzing right now, trying to figure out who Gedola refers to. So here we have that, what we call the second group, which right now is the only group that we're analyzing. And it's said in the Mishnah that all the girls in the second group are usher, except for the very youngest one. So you see that even the middle girl is part of the doubt. And that would bring into question what Abaye said, that, well, middle girls in one group are referred to by name. Here you see, not so. The Gemara answers, Hocho b'may askinon, the Mishnah that spoke about the two groups, with regard to the second group, is she'en shomelo gedolo k'tano. In that second group, there is no middle girl. There are only two girls, like we presented it originally. Hochi nami mistabro. And it's also quite likely that there is no middle girl. Demiso deika, listen, if there was a middle girl, then state it. The Mishnah should have made reference to her. Uletameich, well, according to you, emtsoyes shebekas rishona, devadai sfeika, veasirole, mikotonila. In the first group, if there was a middle girl, she certainly falls under the shadow of doubt as having been referred to by the term gedola, because all the girls of the first group are gedola relative to the second group. So here you have a case of an emtsoyis that is definitely part of the suffix. And yet the Mishnah doesn't spell that out. Hochi hashta. The Gemara says, how can you raise a question from the emtsoyis of the Kas Rishona to show us that in the Kas Shni there was also a middle girl, and yet the Mishnah wouldn't bother mentioning her? Hasam. In the first group, Tana Kitana Didoli Isura, the Tana taught us that the youngest of the first group is prohibited on the grounds of being Gidola. Vehu Adin Lahach Dikshishamina. And likewise, anyone older than the youngest of the first group, including the Emtsoyis, will certainly be Aser. Hacha, regarding the second group, im isa deika, if it was so that there is a middle girl, nisne, the Mishnah should have made reference to her as being part of the suffix as a gedola. Just to review that point. Regarding the first group, there was no need to make reference to an emtsoyis as being part of the doubt of Gedola. After all, the youngest of the first group was also prohibited as being a possible Gedola. Not so in the second group. The youngest of the second group was not part of the suffix. She was Muteris when the man had said, Kidash is Biti HaGedola. Therefore, you can't compare the case of the second group to the first group. And as the Gemara says, if in the second group there had been a middle girl, and that she's part of the Isur as a result of the suffix, maybe she's a Gedola, then it should have been spelled out. And since no reference was made to a middle girl in the second group, so the Mishnah, when referring to the second group, was referring only to a case of a gedola and a ketanah. In other words, only two girls in the second group. There was no middle girl, and hence you can't raise the Mishnah as a kashan Abaye by saying, well, the middle girl in the second group should have been muteris. The Mishnah didn't describe a second group with a middle girl in it. And as far as Abaye is concerned, had there been a middle girl in the second group, she wouldn't have come under the doubt because when you have one group, the middle girls are referred to by name. We continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua le Rava. Ha Pesach, in the case we had before of Ad Pnei Pesach, the holiday of Pesach, the Chikas Achas Domi, it's like one group of girls, it's one unit of time with multiple days in it. Upligi, and yet we saw there was a machlokis. There was someone that said even the subsequent days other than the first day are usur, meaning even the middle days are usur. So that how can Abaye say that if you have only one group, everyone agrees that the terms Gedola and Ketana are referring to the extremes, and everyone in the middle is Mutter. Why? Because everyone in the middle would have been referred to by name. In other words, everyone in the middle does not come into doubt. Well, here you have a parallel situation of multiple days, and yet there is an opinion that says that the middle days are also part of the doubt. The Rava answers. Omar Le, Rava responds to Rav Huna and says, Hossam, in the case of Pesach, Ad Pnei Pesach, Belishna di Almo Komifligi. The machlokis arises from how do you understand the word Pnei. Before we go further, let's glance at Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines. Hossam Belishna di Almo Pligi. The man de Osar, the opinion that prohibited in the case of Ad Pnei Pesach and prohibited in other words, said that the vow was binding even during the middle days. Lav mishum de svirale, it's not because he holds the chol shiyesh meuchar mimenu kori pnei, that any given day that has a day that follows it, so the previous day is going to be called pnei. Rather, the opinion that's restrictive, that says that the vow extends, including the middle days, is because in the way people speak the word Pnei, Mifni Pishikomar, Shia Pesach Ponui, Point of Yoiver. The word Pnei, Mifni, means, we'll say, Pesach clears out, it finishes off. So the word Pnei, according to that opinion, is, just to review the point, isn't a function of a consideration that any subsequent day will make the previous day called Pnei, but rather because he understands the word Pnei to mean finishes off, so that the machlokis regarding Pesach is a machlokis concerning how do you interpret the basic word Pnei. It's not a machlokis concerning which day you are referring to. And hence, it's not parallel to the case of one group of daughters with several in the middle. Let's read this back in the Gemara. Omar Le, Rava says to Rav Huna, Hosam Belishna di Almo Kamifligi, the machlokis regarding Pnei Pesach is restricted to that case alone. More sovar ad Pnei Pesach means ad Kami Pischa. Kami Pischa means up till the beginning of Pesach, which would be the simple meaning of the word Pnei, the face of, the beginning of. Or more so, the other opinion that says that all the days are included in the vow, Ad Mifni Pesach, until Pesach finishes off. So just to reiterate, it's not parallel to the case of Pnei Pesach is not parallel to the case of a person using the term Gedola amongst his daughters. In the case of a person using Gedola, so we said that we don't know who he is referring to when he says Gedola. In the case of Pesach, it's not as if there's unanimous acceptance that the word Pnei means the beginning of, which would have led us into a doubt, beginning of what? But rather, there's a machlokas concerning how do you translate the basic word to begin with. Hence, we said that there is no parallel between the case of Pesach and the case of a person that has one group of daughters. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.